Greetings. Greetings once again. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I want to start with, I usually don't do holidays. I usually don't even mention holidays. So I feel a little uncomfortable feeling obligated to mention the 250th birthday of America, the 4th of July. It is 4th of July weekend, and so I've mentioned it there. I remember the 200th anniversary. It seemed like a bigger deal, but I was 8. And so when you're 8, that's a big deal. So now it's like fireworks. Yeah, I watched, I saw it. After about 2 minutes, you realize, okay, it's going to do this for like 20 minutes. Okay. Anyway, but there's worse ways to spend 20 minutes, I suppose. But bad news not terrible news, just... Rod Stewart is on tour. I don't know if you... Did we have tickets? I think he's playing the casino out at... he asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. We don't have tickets to the Rod Stewart, the concert?
Old.
Not that bored?
Not old.
Oh, you're not that old. I'm sorry. That's right. We're not. Anyway, he's doing his One Last Time tour, which is probably true because he doubled over on stage... And MedTech brought him an oxygen tank in front of the crowd and everybody. He put the mask on and sucked oxygen and managed to recover. He continued the show, but he did so from a chair on stage. And so you would think that if that were to happen, that you might realize, you might look in the mirror and say, you know what, this is ridiculous. What in the world am I trying to do? What have I got to prove? I don't know what it is. But some guys just can't stop. I guess he's got nothing going for him but his fame and the rush of being on stage and being worshipped by a large group of people, which that's pretty much what a rock concert is.
Hey, but he was there, so he finished.
He did finish the show. We will give him...
It's better than the guy who changed it. String,
right? Oh, yeah, you never want to do that. If you break a string, just play through it, trust me. Anyway, I guess it's hard to get over that whole rush of getting on stage and being worshipped. Speaking of that, I think makes me think of Rush. They went out and got the new drummer. I saw a video. You can tell that Geddy Lee is terrified that the chick is going to mess up. Well, he's literally like pointing his bass at her as if anyway.
Too.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he got.
Oh no. Sick. Oh, well, there. See, you do a concert called 50 something, and you're like, wait a minute, we've been touring for 50 years. Have you guys blown through that much money that you need to? No, I think it's the being on stage and being worshipped that it's hard to get over that. There's very little that can replace that. And then now, speaking of that, Sammy Hagar had to cancel his July 4th concert. In Washington, D.C., for America's 250th birthday, Sammy Hagar did. How did I find out about that? A friend of mine posted the handwritten speech that Sammy Hagar intended to give, along with Sammy's apology for canceling the show. We don't know why Sammy canceled. Maybe it's because he's almost 80, is what I'm thinking. Maybe. But his speech, he quoted the Beatles. Did Sammy Hagar... Well, Sammy Hagar was never exactly a brain trust, okay? I mean, we know that. So if he was going to write a speech that had anything deep, chances are he would be quoting someone else. So he quoted... he quoted, "Come together." He talked about, we shouldn't be so divisive. We shouldn't be... I can't remember what he said. He almost said something woke left that almost made me throw up. I had to choke back, like, you know when that vomit comes up and you feel it burn in the back of your throat? But anyway, so I posted to my buddy who posted Sammy's handwritten, heartfelt, plagiarized speech. And I said, man, I hope Sammy Hagar's not some kind of prophet, bud, because Come Together is what the Beatles said right before they broke up. I might not be bringing that up on the 250th birthday. That's all. Sammy, though, again, not a brain trust and probably should retire, but he just can't get over it. Because, like the rest, he doesn't have much else going on, I suppose. Now, speaking of all that, this is our redundant headline of the week. Chief Justice Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett side with the liberals. That was the headline. That's the redundant headline of the week because John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett, that's what I call her. I know it's Amy Coney Barrett, but I call her Amy Coney Barrett. I switched the N and the M is the joke if you, and you know, because there's James Comey. Anyway, but I know it's a little dated. I'm not going to push it. And when you have to explain the joke, it's time to move on. But they're liberals. They didn't side with the liberals. They are liberals. That's why they keep siding with the liberals. Eventually, you would think that the people who aggregate the alleged right-wing news would just admit that they're liberals. And I forget who. I think Trump appointed both of them. I think Trump's appointed three so far. And none of them are what I would consider a conservative. But Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett are just flaming froth at the mouth liberals. And yeah, just quit it with that. Quit trying to convince us that they're anything but liberals. All right. Now, from there, oh, by the way, on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which, by the way, that's why we celebrate the 4th of July, there was a guy doing man on the street interviews asking young people, why is it the 250th birthday of America? What does it mean? Most of them had not a clue. No clue as to why today and why not like September 5th. They had no idea that this was the day that they signed the Declaration of Independence. Anyway, they had no clue. So that doesn't bode well for the future of the country and Western civilization in general. But on the 250th anniversary of America, if you want to know where America stands in the long arc of history, just divide 250 by 10. That gives you 25. 2026 will be the 25th anniversary of the September 11th attacks by Muslim fanatics against New York and Washington and Pennsylvania. We all remember, right? I mean, unless you think it was an inside job or it was all a psyop and what they actually did was pump psychedelics through the water system and they tricked us all. I mean, if you're on that side, okay. But I'm going to remember it because I got the psychedelics and the fluoride that day. I'm going to remember that the Muslim fanatics attacked America. September 11, 2001. Just keep in mind that on the 25th anniversary of September 11th, there will be an Islamist mayor in New York City. He will be overseeing the memorial on September 11th, a Muslim, an Islamist Muslim communist mayor in New York. Who would have thunk it on that day, on September 11th, who would have thunk that within 25 years, an Islamist would be the mayor of New York? It did not seem plausible at the time, I can assure you. And the only reason I mentioned communist last is because this is New York City's third consecutive communist mayor. So that's not that big a deal anymore. They seem to like electing communists. I know they had de Blasio before, just a full-out communist. And who was the other one? Who was before de Blasio? Was it the news guy, Bloomberg? It was Bloomberg, another communist. Makes his billions of dollars and then becomes a communist to keep everybody away from his pile of money. Michael Bloomberg, a despicable, horrible, awful politician. That's all. Okay. So there is our holiday introduction. Oh, wait. I have to say to all of my, I want to say hi to all of my comrades in Colorado. Yeah, I know. Yeah, where the communists, I was talking to my buddy Fred. It was early in the morning after the Democrat primaries out there. And I said, hey, comrade. And he was like, what are you talking about? I said, don't you know that the communists swept the Democrat primaries? He said, I never pay attention to the Democrat primaries. I said, well, Diana DeGette, who's been like our sworn enemy for 20 years, she was ousted by like a 15-year-old Somali communist. It's just, it's unbelievable. You know, it seems like, despite the record of all of the algorithms of history and how nations and empires rise and fall, despite all of that, this does seem to be happening far too quickly. With the communist takeover and the Islamists and, I mean, the Somalis. I remember when George H.W. Bush started importing the Somalis back in the 90s, you remember? Because they were starving to death over there. And I was young and naive. I was like, I think we should help these Somalis out. I didn't understand that we were going to import them en masse into the country, and then they were going to have children and raise them as communists. I don't know. I guess I believed George H.W. Bush. I thought they were all going to move here and basically grow up to be the next generation of Benjamin Franklins and John Adams and George Washington's and Thomas Jefferson's. But I was just a stupid kid. What did I know? George Bush Sr., did he know what he was doing? Probably not. Probably just a naive, self-absorbed politician. All right, I'll just leave it at that. So we got a communist Islamist in New York. We got a 15-year-old communist who in Colorado now. She'd probably be the next governor. Some other communists took out the governor there. But that, I mean, on the Democrat side, I've been calling them communists for almost 20 years. So just the rest of the world is just finally catching up. And they're finally just willing to take the mask off. So it's not like they haven't been communists for a long time. It's just that in the past, you had to lie about it. But now the kids, they seem to like it. So there you go. All right. So that does it with the rock and roll and the fireworks and the communists. And here's a good one. Speaking of the 4th of July, there was down in Brazil, they have a government, a warning system. They have a warning system in place like the one you hear every once in a while. This is the, I can't remember it because I haven't heard it in so long. So I don't have radio. I don't have TV. There used to be the national warning system. And I used to know it by heart because you would hear it a couple times a month or whatever on the radio. I used to know it by heart. I don't remember it anymore. But there would be an alert, you know, this is a test. This is the national warning, whatever. So they have something like that in Brazil. They call it their civil defense alert, except they say it in Spanish because it's in Brazil. And so just recently, thousands of Brazilians, according to Slay News, thousands of Brazilians were jolted awake in the middle of the night after they got an emergency alert warning of an imminent alien attack. An alien attack that came across the civil defense alert system. There was confusion, panic. People were freaking out down in Brazil. And the folks at Slay News say this raises fresh concerns about the security of government warning systems. That's the professional opinion of the reporters over at Slay News. And I'm thinking, forget security. I'm not worried about the security of the government warning systems. I'm worried about who's going to get on the microphone and what they're going to say over there at the. Is this like a dry run to see what is going to happen when they announce? You know, we've been talking about it. The aliens. That's right. The imminent revelation that intelligent life is not only out there, but it's in here. And it turns out they're angry at us over the free market and carbon dioxide and choking fish with plastic straws. They're mad about all of that. And they're going to tell us that they've actually been among us for quite a while, and it turns out it's the communist Somalis the whole time. So I'm seeing, so you know what's in my mind right now is Geddy Lee leaning into the drum kit, just trying to guide that. Although I don't know if they even play that one in concert anymore. It's a futuristic dystopian, that song, by the way. And so yeah, I get disrupted in my train of thought about, it's like Geddy, the reason you picked her to play the drums is because she's like one of the best drummers of her generation. You don't have to sit there and freak out like she's going to all of a sudden stop being able to keep time. I think she can probably pull it off. Maybe she's no Neil Peart, but, you know. So the Somali thing, did nobody get that? Nobody got that, that the Somalis? Has anyone noticed that the Somalis are really thin and they have, like, perfectly round heads and big eyes? And so that whole alien thing, that didn't work? So I don't know. If the aliens were going to disguise themselves as anyone and pull it off, my guess it would be a Somalian. But maybe that's just me because I'm racist. All right. Now, so from there, where were we? Oh, we were on the alien attack. From there, we go to Buffalo. That's the one place the aliens will not go. Nobody in Buffalo has to worry about the aliens because the aliens have seen Buffalo. They've heard about it. They're not going. The Buffalo Bills announced that they will exclude O.J. Simpson from their Hall of Fame ring at their new stadium. So, first of all, the Buffalo Bills are getting a new stadium. Is that the payoff that they get for keeping it under wraps that that kid had a heart attack because of the vaccine? Was that part of the deal? Okay, but I don't know. I'm just speculating. So they're getting a new stadium out in Buffalo. It's going to be in Orchard Park, I noticed. So they're keeping it in the neighborhood, apparently. And the Bills are going to have a Ring of Fame where they have all the great Buffalo Bills players, and there's only like four of them. So it's not like they have a lot of decision making as to who to fit into the ring, right? There's plenty of space. But OJ didn't make it. And shockingly enough, it's not because he murdered those people. Yeah, the official statement from the Buffalo Bills, it said that we have made an organizational decision, okay, that he is not a fit to display inside our new stadium Ring of Fame, which they call the Family Circle, which that does make it kind of hard to put OJ in the old... in the old family circle, right? But they didn't mention the fact that he cut two people's heads off. That wasn't it. It's just that he's not a fit. And like I said, they got plenty of room in the ring. You know, the circle. Anyway, you're familiar with all of this. Okay, so the Buffalo Bills don't have the courage to say that because O.J. Simpson was at least civilly convicted of one of the most heinous and horrific crimes of the century, frankly. We can't have him in here because of the murders. No, they don't have the courage to say that. It's an organizational decision. He doesn't fit. There's only two letters in his first name, O.J. I'm sure it would fit. They could find room. But they're going to say he's okay.
Norm? McDonald.
Yes, we should. Need to run a bunch of old Norm McDonald's. That was okay. Yeah, as long as we're stealing jokes, might as well put him up. Let's see, Donald Trump. Oh, so the war in Iran is not over, and not that I'm surprised at that. I wouldn't have thought it would be over in a matter of 4 months or 5 months or whatever it's been. I know it was only supposed to be 3 months, or was it 3 weeks? I can't remember. I wasn't there at the initial sales pitch. but it was supposed to be short. Turns out it's not that short at the moment, and it's probably going to get longer. And, of course, gas prices have gone up. I've even commented on it. And last week, was it? It might have been the week before last, because there wasn't enough news last week because I just didn't care. No, the thing was, is I had an opportunity to get a large quantity of very expensive material for free. So I'm shopping for some very expensive material that I need for a project. And I find a guy who has some, and he just wants it out of his yard. And I'm like, this is why the free market is so great. Is because here's a guy sitting here with like $4,000 or $5,000 worth of stuff, but he just wants it out of his yard, and he puts in the ad, if you'll just haul it away, it's free. So I call the guy, and I'm like, do you have it? And he's like, oh, well, the guy's supposed to come Saturday. And I said, if he doesn't come, please call me. So I'm on the edge of my seat all Saturday. I don't hear from the guy. Late Saturday evening, I send him a message. Hey, did they come and pick it up? He said, you know, they didn't. And I'm like, ding, ding, woohoo! I'm gonna score like $4,000 worth of. And, but then the thing was that the next day was Sunday when we usually do the show, and the part about hauling it away turned out to be a relatively significant. Yeah, well, not, I mean, it just took too much time that day. There wasn't enough time to squeeze in a show. So that's why we weren't there. But I want you in the audience to be happy and pleased and feel good for me that because of the free market and because I can still go down the street and not be accosted by criminals, and I can take my family out without fear of being robbed or murdered in the street, at least not an overwhelming fear, not a fear that keeps me at home. Because we still have that here in America, I was able to go, and you should be glad that I got this $4,000 or $5,000 worth of free materials. Even though you had to miss a show, trust me, it was worth it. But now back to the Iran war. So this may have been last week, it might have been the week before. But the oil prices started to come down because Donald Trump announced that the deal was done, the war is over. And then, like, within a week, he comes on and he says this. This is one of his official Truth Social posts, which, you know, it's the truth because the name of the, I don't know what you call these things. The name of the Twitter knockoff is Truth Social. So, you know, this is the truth. He says, big oil's not dropping their prices at the pump, commensurate with the sharply lower prices they're paying for oil. Customers are being gouged, said a Republican, and the sitting president of the United States accuses people of price gouging. This is shocking. This is a political bombshell that a sitting Republican president would say such a thing. This is something you'd hear out of a commie like de Blasio or Bloomberg or Obama or Clinton or any one of the other communist leftists that have populated the political spectrum over the past 30 years or so. But no, this is a sitting Republican accusing hardworking free market companies of price gouging. And then he goes, oh, listen to this. He said, I have instructed the Department of Justice to start looking into this. So you got the President of the United States, a Republican allegedly, accusing private industry of criminal activity. He's the sitting president. He's the chief law enforcement officer in the country. All right. So, and nobody notices. Everyone on Fox News, they just want to get another Trump tattoo. Get one that's red, white, and blue, and orange, and yellow on their body somewhere. And here's the thing that, so he said this, let's see, do I have the day of the week here? I don't have the exact, so he says this on a Tuesday, after like the previous Friday, he said, look, the deal's done, prices and oil drop for a day or whatever. And then by Saturday, we're bombing Iran again. And they're shooting missiles and blowing up ships. And so the reason, Mr. Trump, that the oil companies didn't immediately drop their prices is that just because you said the deal was done and the war was over, it really wasn't certain, Mr. President. And the gas stations, they can't base the price of their gas on what you say and what happened in the last 15 minutes. And for you to say this proves that you're a leftist. That's what you are. You're a leftist opportunist. You're a low-life politician. You're no better than any of the other communists I've mentioned. And it's despicable that you've pawned yourself off as some sort of conservative. And so here we are now. This is a week or two after the prices should have gone down. Well, they didn't go down because the war's still going on. And every time you announce a peace deal, the next morning, something gets blown up. So forgive us if we don't drop our prices commensurate with your fantastical hyper fever dreams of whatever you're having there of grandeur. I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nobody's buying it. Until, here's the thing about that Mr. Trump doesn't know, because I know he went to military school for like 15 minutes and he probably read some books, and I know he's really smart. I understand that. But what Mr. Trump does not seem to understand is that you cannot defeat a dedicated enemy without marching into his capital, taking that building and raising your flag over it. That's when the war will be over. And Donald Trump has no intention of doing that. So you know what? The war's not going to be over. And you know what the thing about Muslim fanatics is they tend to be able to outlast short-sighted Western politicians. I'm just going to say they have a track record, okay? And I'm not praising them or saying they're great. I'm just saying there's a certain way this should be handled. It's not being handled that way. And so you and I can plan on paying $10 a gallon for gasoline and seeing another, I don't know how many years of blood and treasure exhausted in Iran until a full-throated leftist takes over in Washington and marches us out of there a la, who's the last guy who's in the White House? I forgot his name already. The joke guy with the hair plugs who somehow became president. Talk about a joke. Joe Biden. Someone will march us out of wherever we are because we're not in Iran, which is where we need to be. So march us out of Diego Garcia a la Joe Biden in Afghanistan or something like that. Forgive us, Don. Nobody's gouging anybody. It's that nobody's really sure what's going to happen. So from there we go to the Jail for Jesus file where a couple in Brazil, didn't I just do a story from Brazil? Oh, there's the aliens. So in Brazil, while the average person in the citizenry is terrified when they hear a bogus, probably a joke call over the everybody starts freaking out about the aliens in Brazil. Here's what's actually going on in Brazil. And if that was a dry run for America, well, this might be too. A couple in Brazil has been criminally convicted for homeschooling their children and sentenced to 50 days in prison. The judge ruled that their curriculum failed to include state-approved content on gender, sexuality, and cultural diversity. So as soon as a judge rules that a school curriculum should have content on gender and sexuality, that judge should be arrested. And then whoever's approving content or anyone who thinks there should be talk about sex and dirty things at school, they should be arrested. But instead, the parents who took their kids out of the school, why? Because it's run by a bunch of sex perverts, obviously, along with the judiciary. The parents who pulled their kids out, they get arrested. Audato and Lida Denardi were convicted of intellectual neglect. Now, that sounds something like right out of a George Orwell novel. Intellectual neglect. What is that? Well, what do you like? Whatever you need it to be, this will be. Intellectual neglect. The judge concluded that the parents had failed to provide adequate, quote, cultural education. Cultural education. Didn't have a problem with the reading and the writing and the math. The kids, by the way, they speak multiple languages and they're accomplished pianists. Yeah. They play the piano and they speak more than one language, and the judge is worried about their cultural education. The judge accused the couple of using their daughters as pawns in an ideological struggle. And you read that and you're thinking, wait a second. That's what the government in Brazil is doing. This is what the left is very good at. The left is very good at looking you dead in the face, straight face, and accusing you of doing exactly what they're doing. And then they'll throw you in jail for it. And if you push it too far, they'll shoot you. That's definitely, hands down, no, it's not too loud. Are you kidding me? It's a better intro than anything the Rolling Stones ever did. Just leave that alone. I know, you thought we were over that topic. We'll probably never get over that. Hands down. Oh, but now back to the couple in Brazil, though. It gets even more astonishing when you... After the trial started and the prosecutor heard from witnesses, talked to the girls, and reviewed evidence, the prosecutor concluded to the judge that the parents, in fact, had not neglected their children. The prosecutor, he's the one on the government side saying that the parents are criminal. During the trial, he said, you know, I really think that this shouldn't be happening. The conviction came from the judge, despite the prosecutor recommending acquittal. So wrap your head around that. This judge had it out so hard for these parents. He was so in the tank for the communist, leftist, sex perverts running the schools in Brazil that he was willing and able and highly efficient in convicting the parents, despite the fact that the prosecutor, I know it's shocking. Anyway, my advice to the parents, okay, don't appeal. Huh? Go to jail. Go to jail for the whole 50 days. Don't even try to get out for good behavior. I'm not saying behave badly, but go into the jail and minister there. I guarantee you these two are Christians. I guarantee it. Or at least they're professing Christians. And so go to the jail, minister there, and when you get out, tell your tale. Write a book. Uh-huh. And for you in the audience, I recommend you do not send this couple any money for their legal defense, because their suffering is a more effective witness for our cause than if we hire the I forget the name of the group that always defends everybody for religious liberty. I'm sure they have a wing down there in Brazil. The Alliance Defending Freedom. So every time the Alliance Defending Freedom gets a Christian out of jail, it's a bad thing. It's better for a Christian to go to jail and suffer and then come and tell your tale. That's what our entire faith is built on, for crying out loud. It's not built on hiring lawyers and trying to get out of it. It's about doing what's right against the adversary and then suffering whatever the adversary inflicts on us, up to and including death. Because that's what we do. That's what we're called to do. And that's what this couple should do. The Alliance Defending Freedom shouldn't be sending down a bilingual lawyer to try to get them out. Go in there, suffer, tell your story. Your suffering will not only help other Christians, it will also be a witness to the atheists out there when they see that you're not just making this up. All right, so there. Anyway, I've been in jail. It's not that bad. In fact, it's a tremendous ministry opportunity, because nobody can go anywhere. Pretty much got a a captive audience, right, so to speak. Okay, now, from there, so we go from school in Brazil to school in at the University of California, Berkeley, to get two sides of a very different story. Two sides of a different, I don't know how to put that. Anyway, to get the antithesis of what I just talked about, whatever was going on in that Brazilian household where the girls learned the multiple languages, how to play the piano, probably learned that there's a God and that they're sinners and that they need Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins and that he'll give them eternal life. If all they do is believe, they probably learned all that stuff. By the way, that was their cultural education. So the judge was incorrect. They had a cultural education. It just didn't include the perverts and the weirdos and the queers and the, that's all. It didn't include the people the judge hangs out with. But from the Brazilian schoolroom, we go to the University of California at Berkeley, where if you apply to go to school at Berkeley and you claim to have a disability, you can qualify for disabled accommodations. That's right. Disabled accommodations. And then you stop and you say, well, what is that, Doug? Does that mean that they put a ramp in at the dorm so that you can roll your wheelchair up there and that kind of thing? No, those are already there. Thanks again, George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, George Sr., who thought he was doing all of us a favor by the Americans with Disability Act, when actually what he did was he insinuated the government into mundane building decisions that have pretty much destroyed and made it a nightmare to try to build anything in this country. Because now every governing official thinks they should have an absolute veto say on whatever you want to do to build on your own private property. Don't get me started on that. Let's get back to the school days file. Where at California Berkeley, it's not about your wheelchair and a ramp, right? It's not about having a sign language lady stand up there next to the professor during the lecture so that's not what the disabled accommodations are. Here's what they are. If you're disabled, you can get 200% of the time allotted to undisabled students for exams. And let's see, there's other accommodations, including more time for exams and a grading accommodations. So basically, so what's happened now that they have these accommodations out at UC Berkeley? Well, now almost 40% of the students who enroll claim that they're disabled. I know.
Wow.
Male students make up approximately 30% of the enrollees, but like almost half of them are claiming they're disabled. And now the most common disability that's claimed, it does not involve a wheelchair or a hearing aid or a cane. It involves attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and or anxiety and then occasionally depression. These are the three major disabilities that are claimed. And in 2021, by the way, 3% of the student body claimed to be disabled. 5 years later, it's almost 40% claim they're disabled. Why? So they can get extra time on the exams. That's why. They found out about it. And then, by the way, there is something else in the background here. Because, you know, I kind of make fun of this, and I'm sure you probably heard this on other right-wing talk shows, because it's Berkeley and it's low-hanging fruit for anyone who wants to laugh at liberals. But the fact is, these kids are disabled. And they can call it attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or anxiety or depression. I'm sure that all the kids enrolling at Berkeley have some form of psychological, sociological, spiritual handicap. I believe that is true. Now, I wouldn't give them any extra time on the tests. That, you know, I wouldn't start a racket like that. But I would start counseling some of the students out at UC Berkeley. And, you know, first get to the bottom of why they're a mess. And what you're going to find out, it's because, you know, they've been on psychoactive drugs since they were 12. Their parents got divorced when they were 14. They've been consuming social media and pornography since they were 11. And they don't believe in God. Well, actually, it's not they don't believe in God. It's that nobody's ever told them the truth about God. And so when they need to set up, that's what we need to apply to try to get a lecture hall there at UC Berkeley. We go in and tell the kids the truth about God, because if you tell someone the truth about God, the ADHD and the anxiety and the depression can be solved. I'm not saying it's a magic panacea, but it can be solved if someone starts to understand the truth about God. And the fact that everything they've been told about this existential life, that it's all a lie. You just let them know, look, this is a temporary stop on the way to eternity, and it might be a bummer. A lot of people got it way worse than you, honey, but, you know, I'm sure it's a drag. But it's a temporary stop, and you are going to be going on to another place where you're going to spend the vast majority of your life is going to be spent in the next world, and here's how it can be way better. And in preparing someone for a much better existence, a much better life in the next world, it actually improves your experience in this world. And that's the truth about God that you haven't heard at Berkeley. All right. Do I have anything else to say here? a graduate over at UC Berkeley who found out about this, he heard the statistics and he was somewhat nonplussed. 40% disabled. That doesn't sound right. I was just there. He dug into the data and he said, we're asked to believe that students at elite law schools are significantly more likely to be disabled than our nation's senior citizens. And so I'm not sure what Sean Hannity said about that. I'm sure he reported on that. These darn liberals. But here's the thing. The average millennial, they're not millennials anymore, are they? The average Gen Z person enrolling in law school is far more likely to be disabled than your grandmother. I can assure you of that. That is absolutely true. You don't expect me to believe that. I know that's a fact. And so that's what we need to focus on. We can laugh at Berkeley because they're a bunch of communists and faggots and weirdos and all that. But the fact that half their law school, is this just their law school or is this the entire student body? This is just the law school. The fact that almost half their law school is claiming a disability, well, it should be a red flag for a number of reasons. I mean, obviously, there's people gaming the system, but trust me, the kids are not okay, okay? Now, meanwhile, since we checked in earlier with the aliens, let's go next to the miraculous file, where we check in on the miraculous, because the miraculous is all the rage these days. Not only does everybody want a miracle, everybody seems to be claiming they're getting them. Even though it seems like the whole world is falling apart and on its way straight to hell in a handbasket, despite the fact that God's doing all these miracles. I guess he can't keep up. Do you think? So let's go to Venezuela, where there was a horrible pair of earthquakes. Just devastating. I mean, some of the video was, I mean, you see earthquakes, right, these days, you just don't see devastation like that. It's like, wow. Flattened blocks of apartments and just a lot of suffering going on down there. So if you feel like God has called you to do something, maybe he's calling you to go to Venezuela. No? He's calling you to be a quarterback. Oh, okay, yeah. All glory to God, right? Every time you throw a touchdown, you point up. All glory to God. Okay, forgive me if I don't believe you. So if you were climbing through the rubble in Venezuela, right, and they caught you on the camera there on CNN, and you pointed to God and said, all glory to God, I would believe that. But that's a whole nother topic. Don't get me started on that. I should have said pitcher, because this story is about a pitcher. I get my sports confused because I don't really partake anymore, because I've lost interest in watching men, grown men play games for the entertainment of other grown men who are usually drinking. And not that I wasn't drinking when I watched. I was, okay? I'm not going to say I'm better than anyone else. But I've just lost interest, that's all. Well, there's an ex-pitcher for the New York Mets, Henry Mejia, now plays in the Venezuelan League down there in Venezuela. And he narrowly escaped death in the earthquake, and he's giving thanks to the divine intervention of God for saving his life. And, of course, that makes the New York Post, because everybody loves a miracle. Everybody wants a miracle. If you question anybody's miracle, it's because you're mean. Or you're not very spiritual. Maybe you're just not spiritual enough to get one. Here's what happened. He was in the elevator, Mr. Mejia was. He says, I took the elevator to leave. In fact, he says, I had pressed number 6, which is where my floor was. But, and I think this was God, because instead of going up, the elevator went down to the basement. And then the shaking started. And we stayed down there and we were safe. And then the elevator came up and it let us out in the lobby. Oh, surely it was God's intervention that saved my life. So now notice that he says, in fact, I had pressed number 6. You know why he said in fact? Is because he's not actually sure. Because you know why? It's because he didn't actually press number 6. He actually pressed B. That's why he went down in the basement. It's called happenstance. It's called chance. If God wanted to do a miracle to save Henry Mejia, he would have translated Henry Mejia from the elevator to the pitcher's mound in New York City for the Mets. And he would have pitched a no-hitter if God was going to do it, okay? But instead, Henry here, Mejia, he said, I came out of the building. I came out and the building started to collapse. The Venezuelan major leaguer also says he helped an elderly man out of the hotel, and he believes they were the only survivors from the whole building. So, hey, Henry, if God would have done a miracle, nobody in the hotel would have died. He would have stopped the earthquake, mid-earthquake. Have you read about any of the miracles in the Bible? It's not just one guy getting out by the skin of his teeth. And God is no respecter of persons, Henry. And when you say that God did a miracle to save you, what do you think people would say if I came in on the air and said that God did a miracle to kill the other 5,000 people? Boy, am I glad God did that miracle. Those people in Venezuela, they needed to be killed, and God did it. I'm so glad. All glory to God for the 5,000 people that he killed. They must have been miserable bastards, those. So how do you think that would go over? Do you understand what you're saying, Mr. Mejia? Do any of you other people understand what you're believing when you claim that God is doing special miracles just because you, for you, because you're so special? I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand that not only do you sound foolish and superstitious, you also sound blasphemous. You know, I never realized that there was a guitar involved in that. I always thought that was just keyboards.
That's a miracle.
God laid a guitar track in there 40 years later. It was actually all keyboards when the song was released. But because I like the guitar and God knows that I'm special, he laid a guitar track down for me. It was my miracle. By the way, the whole blasphemy, that reminds me. My bass player, when I was young, my bass player introduced me to a band called Danzig. You may or may not have heard of them. Chances are not. but their CD album cover unfolded into an upside down cross with pictures of the guys in the band looking very evil. That was the so he unfolds this thing while he's letting me listen to the record. And I was, you know, I said, the drums are good. The bass line is tight. But, you know, I can't really go with the blasphemy. And he was like, oh, what's blasphemy? And I said, well, the whole upside down cross thing. I said, don't you know that that's blasphemy? And he was like, no, I mean, what's blasphemy? He didn't know what blasphemy was. Anyway, I'm assuming I don't have to explain it to the audience, but maybe I should. Because if you believe that God's doing miracles just for you because you're so special, and so because you're so special, God is going to go against everything else he's doing right now for the entire world because you need out of a tight spot, or maybe you're looking for a house or a job, or you want to know if your girlfriend, maybe I should propose, God, show me a sign. If you think that, that's blasphemy. Blasphemy is attributing to God what he is not doing. And it doesn't even have to be evil. Anything God is not doing that you claim he's doing, that's blasphemy. So just don't do it, okay? If you're not sure, shut up. Like the pitcher here. He should definitely get down on his knees and thank God that he survived the earthquake. And he should start crawling through the rubble and saving other people because that's what Jesus would do, okay? Well, that's not what Jesus would do. Jesus would just reconstruct the buildings miraculously and nobody would die. If he wanted to do that, if that's what he was doing. But in this age, Jesus would be crawling through the rocks with Mr. Mejia because he's not doing miracles. Trust me, he's not. If you think he is, it's because you're a biblically illiterate adolescent. Okay. Now, let's go from, let's go to, oh, here's a headline that, see if you recognize the irony here. This was a headline on TheBlaze.com. Everybody familiar with The Blaze? I know you probably go there and you listen, so I don't want to offend you, but I hope you recognize the irony here. Here's the headline from The Blaze. Christians, beware. This spiritual counterfeit is already in your church.
That's funny.
Do you get it? And so the first thing I thought of was, well, yeah, that's the guy at church telling me something Glenn Beck said. But no, that's not what this means. This is Glenn Beck, who's a Mormon, which is a counterfeit Christian religion, heretical, blasphemous, all of that. This is Glenn Beck reporting on a new English translation of the Bible. It's called the Passion Translation. And I don't know what to call Glenn Beck. I mean, I want to be nice because it's not that I think he's a bad, it's not that I think he's any worse than anyone else. Is it possible to be a Mormon and be saved? I think it probably is because like most people in church, they don't really know what's going on with their church. They barely know anything about the Bible. They barely know anything about Jesus. And I mean, if they happen to hear the gospel, and they happen to be thinking about the right Jesus, and they happen to believe they could get saved and not go to hell. So it's possible Glenn Beck is not on his way to hell with jet rockets. I mean, it's unlikely, but I'm just holding out the possibility. It's like the Catholics. I mean, you could back into, fall, stumble accidentally into salvation in a Catholic church. Well, that's the thing about the Mormons is the Jesus they're preaching. You know, Paul actually warned about people preaching another Jesus. I mean, he used that actual term. And so, yeah. So the Mormons preach another Jesus, but it's possible Glenn Beck at one moment in time got him confused with the real Jesus and believed. It's possible. That's all. I'm not the judge. Don't go by me. By the way, this is from the fake, phony, fake file. So he says this new modern English paraphrase of the Bible has been in the works since 2012, and it's set for release in 2029. But Glenn Beck wants to warn you that this counterfeit may already be in your church because, I don't know, was there's copies of it out there somewhere. I don't know. Well, do the Mormons, yeah, they have their own Bible? Yes. I think they have their own Bible. Oh, they have the Book of Mormon.
Yes.
That they, yeah, so.
Good problem.
So, hey, if anyone can recognize a counterfeit book in your church, it would be a Mormon. I mean, they have firsthand experience, so. All right, and then what? Wait, listen to this. Here's another story. Since I was on the Blaze, which I don't go to, except when there's something this, I mean, I see this headline, a spiritual counterfeit. Well, I'm going to click on that headline. That's the kind of story that interests me. And it turns out it's at the Blaze. So while I'm on the Blaze, I get another headline. Here it is. Three shocking facts about James Tallarico's quote unquote Christian church. As reported by the Blaze, Sarah Gonzalez. Is the reporter at the Blaze, and she, I don't know if she's a Mormon, I don't know if she claims to be a Christian, but she's, oh, and by the way, I only recently discovered that James Tallarico pronounces his name Tallarico, and so all that means is I don't have TV, and I don't have radio. I don't listen to anyone anymore about anything except the Bible. I don't listen to the news anymore. So I didn't know. And when I grew up in Texas, all the Mexicans, they tried to pronounce their name American. We had a kid in school. His name was David Reese. And he spelled his last name R-U-I-Z. When I got into the service, there was a guy named Ruiz from California. And I didn't put two and two together until like halfway through boot camp. I was like, this was David Reese's last name. And this guy's pronouncing it like he just got off a boat from Mexico. Ruiz. I remember Ruiz because he got to boot camp and his earlobe was split in two. His earlobe was split in two and he had a dirty bandage on it. And the first thing they did was they yelled at him about that. And then they sent him down to the doctor to get it bandaged up. And it turns out that at his going away party, he had worn an earring. And Ruiz's daddy ripped the earring out of his ear like a few days before he shipped out to boot camp. That's the kind of dad a kid needs, I'll tell you what. Anyway, so that's how I remember Ruiz. But anyway, there was another family in my high school in Texas, trying to think of their last name. They called themselves the Marcuses. The Marcuses. And then their name was spelled M-A-R-Q-U-E-Z. And I met other people later. They say Marquez or Marquez. But back when I was growing up in Texas, if you were a Mexican, you wanted to be an American, which so you pronounced your name American. Like my ancestors did when they came over here. Our name was like Shalala McBarney or something like that. I don't know what it was, but they changed it. So that people could pronounce it here, because we wanted to be Americans. So, James Tallarico, when I read it, knowing he was from Texas, I figured it was Tallarico, because Tallarico sounds American. But he doesn't pronounce it American, even though I've never seen a whiter guy in my life. And he pronounces his name like he's a Mexican. Talk about, I'm telling you, the algorithm, this should not all be happening this fast. Skinny white homos in Texas should not be allowed to pronounce their name like they're a Mexican, nor should they have any desire to do so, but this guy's doing it. Anyway, and Glenn Beck, the Mormon, blasphemer, heretic, he's hired Sarah Gonzalez to report on to the shocking news that a homosexual communist from Texas comes from a rotten church. All right. I'm sure the story's very interesting, and it's got all kinds of stuff about, here, listen to this. Tallarico would be a curse on the state of Texas. Sarah unveils three disturbing facts about the scripture-twisting St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Austin, Texas. How can Glenn Beck put the word scripture-twisting in a news story without understanding that he's extraordinarily hypocritical and that I'm not going to believe anything he says, and nor do I care. And here's the thing about Glenn Beck reporting on, first of all, St. Andrew's Presbyterian churches, there's a lot of them around America. They're part of, I don't know which part of the Presbyterian, but it's the homo part. It's the queer part. It's the faggot communist part of the church. Like, you know, the United Methodists, they have a part like that. And so, and St. Andrew's is like that. With the Methodists, it's St. John's. If it's called St. John's and it's United Methodists, it's full of queers and perverts and run for your lives. If it's St. Andrew's Presbyterian, chances are it's the same. Anyone who's been paying attention to religion and Christianity for 5 minutes knows all this stuff. So all Sarah had to do was say he goes to St. Andrew's Presbyterian in Austin. We pretty much all know it. But they go into a lot of stuff that I would not print about his church because it's so, it's just not fit for, it's not fit to be discussed outside of a private, the privacy of a judge's chambers. But they publish it because I think what it is Sarah and Glenn Beck and you and me, we are all tempted and we stumble in that we want to feel better about the fact that we're sinners, and it gives us some satisfaction to read about people who are gross, flagrant sinners. And so a guy like Glenn Beck and Sarah Gonzalez, who sold their soul to whoever they sold it to, I don't know who, they feel better about their corruption in pointing out the gross, carnal, awful Tellerico and the St. Andrews crowd. And here's the thing. It's not going to do you any good, Glenn, to feel better about the fact that you're not a child-molesting pervert liar like Tellerico. And Sarah Gonzalez, it's not really going to do you any good if you point out the particular deviancy of the chaplain at the church of the aforementioned pale, skinny, homosexual, pervert Democrat down in town. It's just not going to do you any good. It might make you feel better about the fact that you fall short all the time on a daily basis. It might make you feel better, but it's not really going to do you any good. And it doesn't really do us any good either to indulge ourselves in being entertained by the fact that this guy's a way worse sinner than me. I mean, I'm not as bad. Hey, I might have my problems, but I'm not James Tellerico. That guy's bad. My church, hey, we might not really know the Bible or even know the gospel or ever preach it or, you know, and we're mostly about building projects and the band and the... But hey, at least our chaplain is not a one of those, you know, like he's got. Anyway, it's just an exercise in fleshly stimulation that is of no spiritual benefit. It does not edify. And so let's not get into it. Meanwhile, from the left, right, left file, we'll end on this. A federal judge blocked bans on using SNAP money for soda. That's right, SNAP money, which is a supplemental nutrition assistance program. Trump banned the use of that money for soda pop, and now a judge has said no. The people on welfare can have their soda pop, and they can use your welfare money, Mr. Trump. And everyone on the right is outraged that a leftist judge, probably an Obama appointee, would allow the SNAP users to buy soda pop. And the government agencies are... Nobody's upset that we've got a government agency defining food. No government agency should be able to define food and decide who should get what food or give anyone money for food or anything like that. And if you don't understand that, you're not on the right, you're a leftist. And that's it for the Weekly Worldview. We'll be back next time. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.